Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pagans Tonight Radio Network, the voice of the pagan world. Pagans Tonight is sponsored by Witchschool.com, your anyone, anytime, anywhere magical education.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in today. I am Michael Greywolf. I am an artist, traveler, basic all-around geek. I'm a witch and a brother initiate. And when I get my work finished, I will also be a teacher of the Unnamed Path. Matthew, unfortunately, will not be joining us today. For those who don't know, Matthew lives over in Florida. So he actually lives... Gosh, I can't remember exactly what city. I think it's Palm Beach or close to Palm Beach. He's close to the ocean. So he is all bunkered down and, you know, staying safe and, you know, sending lots of love and, you know, positive energy and thoughts towards him and everyone else who's staying in their homes trying to ride out the storm. I know I had some friends who... live in actually Gainesville, Florida. They messaged me just a little while ago saying they were evacuated, and Gainesville is kind of smack dab in the middle of the state, so they're also not from Florida, so this would be their first hurricane, so they kind of, you know, freaked out and decided to scoot on home. Well, not scoot on home, you know, they evacuated to Arkansas. And let's see. Oh, and I got off topic. But you are listening to Walking the Unnamed Path. On this podcast, we discuss the teachings and techniques given to us by the ancestors and laid out by our late founder, Hyperion. We also touch on topics and ideas pertaining to queer pagan men in general. You know, we're glad you've decided to join us today, especially since it is our one-year anniversary episode. So... you know, if you feel like it, please feel free to call in at area code 347-308-8222 if you have any questions or, you know, something you'd like us to talk about. You can also hang out in the chat room, which I have open. You can drop us an email at walkingtheunnamedpath@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at walking_theup. You can also find us at Facebook at facebook.com/walkingtheunnamedpath. And like I said, you know, it's a special anniversary episode today. Oh, gosh. I'm so excited I got the hiccups. And we have some very special guests. Two of our brothers will be joining me today. Will joining us today. Brother Cliff Camacho and David Shorey will be joining us. And then we have another special guest who I think they may have called in already. So I'm going to play a little music while I go and, you know, get everything worked out with them in the green room. And let's see, what song am I going to play? Ah, I'm going to start with this one. This is Mama Gina, Coyote's Tattoo.
He'd repay all the
made love and he said, I'll be back. And he didn't lie about that. No, no, he didn't lie about that. He traced a claw in the small of my back. He's long gone, but the lines remain true. He left me a love to remember him by, and I still bear Coyote's tattoo. Coyote returned in the shape of a man with a tiger king high and drumsticks in hand. He tapped out a rhythm right there on my skin, and the mark that he left burned within. Then he said, I must go, but you have your wish. The sorrows you know are bound to your bliss. I may be the trickster, but I've loved you true, and you always bear my tattoo. Oh, oh, you always bear my tattoo. And the pump that we made and the changes he wrought, I was sorry it happened, but now I am not. I was sorry it happened, but now I am not. Oh, he traced a claw in the small of my back. He's long gone, but the lines remain true. He left me a love to remember him by, and I still bear Coyote's tattoo.
And that was, again, Mama Gina, Coyote's Tattoo. So, you know, we've been hinting that we've had a special guest going to be coming on the show for, you know, since we've been advertising for today's episode. And our special guest is actually Miss Vicky, Hyperion's mother. Hello, Miss Vicky.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
You there? I'm doing
here.
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm on babysitting duty with my grandson, but I would not miss this opportunity for anything. So here I am talking to you. Very excited. It's been a whole year. It's incredible that a whole year has already passed.
I know. And we also, you know, the guys were like, oh, we're going to get a chance to talk to Miss Vicky, too, so I'm going to go ahead and bring them on. Here's Cliffy and David.
Yeah, that's not fair.
Hi, Cliffy and David.
Hi.
Hi,
this is
like
the first time we've actually spoken together, so I'm excited.
I know. We only speak on Facebook.
Hi, Mama E.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
Very good. Yeah, I have several names. Mama E is my root word name. So you can either call me Vicky or Mama E, whichever you like the best.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I was wondering, I meant to ask, you know, how you wanted to be introduced. And, you know, my mother always taught me, you know, if I don't know a person's last name, just add, you know, Miss or, you know, Mr. at the front of their first name. So, yeah. But I will.
Right.
I think I'll go with Mama E.
Okay.
So,
Mama E works.
So Mama E, you know,
mm-hmm.
Gosh, can you tell us a little bit about? I don't know where to start.
The beginning?
No. Well, okay. Let's start at the beginning. Can you tell us a little bit about what Hyperion? You know, we're gonna jump into. You know, a little bit of picking your brain on Hyperion.
Okay.
Can you tell us a little bit what he was like when he was younger, you know, when he was growing up?
Oh, my goodness. Of course I can. First of all, he was always a joy. He used to say that he was a pill when he was a little boy. In reality, what happened with him is that he was very smart, and therefore he was very curious. He wanted to know everything. And that kind of making me a little crazy, because he would say, "Mom, I want to learn about bonsai trees." So I go, "Okay." So we would go to a bonsai nursery. He would buy books. We would get everything. He would get into it, completely learn about it, and then move on to something else. So I ended up with all these bonsai trees on the side of the house with all this, you know, pots and little things that eventually I had to toss because he moved on. Then he wanted to learn to play the guitar, so he went and took classes. Then he learned how to play the guitar. Then that was enough. Then he moved on. Then he wanted a keyboard. Then he played and learned the keyboard. So he was a very smart child and kept me on my toes all the time, which made it fun. I mean, I really enjoyed it. He was mischievous. Him and his sister always came up with, like, if they did something, and I would send them to their room, and, you know, their dad and I would be in the living room watching TV or whatever, you could hear the little giggles. The two of them were sticking their heads outside of the bedrooms and trying to, you know, play still and everything. Even their 6 years difference, they still were very... together, very united, and they got along pretty well, considering, you know, a brother and a sister, as well as you can get along with your brother and sister growing up. They fight, but they open up to each other very much. So having Hyperion, having Eddie was so much fun, going through all the steps of the things he was involved with, going to all the choirs that he participated in and seeing all the different choirs that he belonged to. He was a chamber singer. He was Southern California Honor Choir. He was, I mean, he traveled. It was a joy seeing him grow. And then as he got older, he became, he went into Wicca. And seeing that process was eye-opening for me. I have always learned from my children as much as I taught them. The whole aspect of paganism was completely foreign to me because we were Catholic. So when Eddie began learning, he shared. One thing about Eddie, he always shared. The teacher in him was there since he was a child. And everything that he learned, he would come home and show us. We put him on some kung fu or karate lessons so that he could defend himself. And he would come home and show us all the steps. And we were seeing him jumping all over the living room doing all this, you know, flying this and backwards that. It was fun. He was a fun child, very loving, and a joy. So if you want to know particulars, I remember when he started getting the
Uh-oh, I think we're losing it.
Did you lose me?
Mama E, you there? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
There you are.
Yes, can hear you now. Okay, there you are.
Well, I think we're
going to. See, you know, sometimes that's the problem with calling in on cell phones. They drop out. You know,
yeah, it happens sometimes.
Oh, no. Well, hopefully she can reconnect.
Well,
but that was some
know,
good
if
story.
If she does call back,
so
that would
far.
Be fantastic because we were just getting into it.
Oh, no, I think David dropped.
She should be connected again. She said she just called back in.
Okay, hold on. Let me see. Is that you?
Hello.
Mama Z?
There you are.
Yay.
I'm on.
Yay.
Yay.
I think we all dropped off
you
there
hear
for
me?
A second.
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can hear you fine.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay. Is there a magic trick or anything when I call where I can go behind the scenes and connect with you guys or just have to wait?
I think it's just call back in.
No. Yeah, it's just call back in.
Yeah. I think you lost her again.
But just, you know, it's kind of... Okay, there we go. Let me do that. Because it was a little weird, because I was showing her on my switchboard twice. So I was kind of like, huh.
Mm.
So hopefully,
it might show up as a shadow.
Call. Yeah. So.
You can also just disable. Can't you disable those calls? So you should be able to just disable them if you're seeing ghosts. So that when she calls back in, she calls back in fresh.
I think she's called in.
Well, I just want to, this is David, and I just want to, you know, kind of jump in, and I think that everyone who's been listening, you know, the word that always comes to mind when I hear Mama E is grace, and, you know, she is just such an amazing human being who not only, you know, I think, not only raised a beautiful son in Eddie and Hyperion, but, you know, her daughter as well. And just, I have learned so much from her as we've experienced the last, you know, few years with Eddie's passing. And so it's such an honor and a privilege to not only be on the show with her, but just to know her as a human being and to call her a friend. And I think, you know, as folks were hearing her talk, you can definitely tell that she is just a powerhouse in her own. You know, she is just an amazing, amazing person, and it's no doubt that she raised
Hello.
A child like Eddie.
Hello.
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 You're back.
Hi.
We were just discussing you.
Oh, okay. I did not hear you, so...
I was singing your praises, Mama E.
Singing my praises. Thank you so much.
So, Mama E, after yes. Hyperion's passing, of course, after he left this world, you changed your life a little bit more, didn't you? You went further with it.
Well, yes, I officially retired from my professional career and continued with Dr. E products. And that's when Mama E really was born. Thanks to the help that I get from his partner, Clayton. He's my IT person and, you know, co-creator of what is going on now. I was able to continue the business and start reading online, too, like he did on the phone. And doing my spell work and, you know, growing the business. One thing that I always wanted, as soon as Eddie passed, my first thought is to maintain all the work that he did because he worked tremendously to get Dr. E products going and to maintain the quality of the products and the same sense that he had in the business. Now, saying that, I'm not Dr. E. I'm not Eddie. I don't have the gifts that Eddie had. I had my own, but it's very difficult to fill in you know, in his shoes. So I think we're doing a real good job and looking forward to growing the business more like the way that he wanted it, as far as doing presentations and expanding a little bit more. Because right now I've been focusing on just getting products out and keeping up with our setting of lights service, which is huge, and you know, making sure products are shipped right away, quality control basically. but at this point, we have to work more towards what he wanted, which was increasing the spiritual connection and going further than just a business. So what I have left of my life, I will spend it as long as I can working Dr. E products, which I really enjoy, actually. It's, you know, the plan was for him and I to work at it. And since it didn't happen, I'm trying to do the best I can. But I think that, you know, we will be fine. And he's right there with us. His presence is so strong that when you walk into our shop, you can feel it. He's there watching out. And it's just amazing, amazing. So that's what I'm doing. Bless you.
Sorry.
That's all right. So
what is your opinion of the podcast that Michael's been doing? Do you think he's done a great job? Him and his co-partner in crime?
I think it's fabulous. When I first heard of it, I went, oh my God, what, you know, and I, knowing how Eddie did his podcast, which was mainly like an educational tool, I was expecting that. And then I see that it's more, it's fun. It's educational. It's got Michael's touch and Matthew's touch in it. So it's amazing that you guys are keeping that up. It's amazing that you're still catering to all these men in the world that are looking for an outlet and are looking for understanding and spiritual connection. So I'm very proud of you guys. I'm very happy that you're doing this.
Yay!
I am. I mean, when Hyperion passed, my main thought was that the UP brothers had to maintain the group as strong as it was with him. And I talked to John Ravenmoon about this and to David about this and, you know, to Ken. And we all discussed this, that I was very, very strong supporting them and having them continue with the legacy. Just like we're continuing with the Hoodoo legacy, you guys are continuing with the UP legacy. It was no accident that this happened and that the God and the goddesses, they all communicated and gave messages and made this amazing group. So many people needed it, and so many people still need it that haven't even found it. So my hope is that it continues to grow, that you get more people, that you get more teachers so that it can expand and maintain the same level and the same quality and the same message that was delivered to him. Plus, I'm assuming, not being a UP brother myself, I'm more like a UP mother, that you're also channeling messages yourself. So as long as you continue the brotherhood and work all together, it should be fine.
Well, Mama E, one of the things that's really exciting is that I'm going to Australia in January, and I will initiating the first international brother there.
Yes.
So, going around the world. It's pretty amazing. And it's a tribute to you.
Oh, thank you. I was just a vessel, folks. I was just a vessel. And, you know, some agreements and some contacts were made before we came here. And that's where Eddie and I agreed that I would bring him in. And you know, there's a reason for everything. Very, very glad that so many people and so many men are benefiting from this. And as far as your students in Australia, Buck, I have spoken to him on chat. And mm-hmm. He sounds like a lovely and amazing person. So I'm glad that you're opening Australia for more and more UP brothers.
Yeah. Can I just say, I know mm-hmm. I know you claim to just be a vessel, but from if I learned anything from my father and from Eddie, my teacher, is your path that you walked, the way you raised your son, the way you raised your daughter, everything you did shaped who that individual became. And because of that and everything that he found in his life, he shaped all of our lives that are currently connected as a brotherhood. And there's some rough patches. Some of us yell at each other. Some of us love each other. And it doesn't matter because we're brothers. And we got that because of what you brought into this world, because of that baby that you brought into this world that shaped our lives. And I think that's why we say thank you, because it's not about, you know, like worshiping you or special, you know what I mean? It's not about that. It's about thank you, because your unique path helped us find ours.
Yes, that's true. And I'm very, very glad. You know, we never know when we're growing up and we're children, we have no clue what we're going to do with our life. I remember people asking, what are you going to do? I go, I have no idea. And, you know, living in the state, you have 1,000 jobs. You know, everybody starts doing one thing and ends up doing 10 different things. By the time you retire, you've done everything. In my life, I never thought that my little boy, my beautiful 9-pound, 6-ounce boy, he was big when he was born, he was a big boy. I never, ever thought that he was going to end up being the spiritual leader that he ended up being at the end. And not only the UP tradition, he has other traditions that he was initiated and participated on, which also helped me because I was initiated in a couple of them myself. So he opened my spirituality. So by having him, not only did he help you guys, he helped me too. Mm-hmm. So he helped a lot of us.
Mama E, so...
Yes.
I think if I think about this right, I'm one of the first brothers to be initiated who never got a chance to meet Hyperion.
Oh.
Never got a chance to meet Eddie. What would you say to those of us who will be coming, you know, into the Brotherhood or who are in the Brotherhood who never got a chance to meet Eddie? Like, what is something that you would tell us about him?
Okay. One thing that I will tell you is, and I know Eddie did the same thing and I do the same thing, never give up. You never give up. You continue to fight. Even though it looks sometimes really dark, never give up, because you don't know where you're going to be getting the next word, the next thought that will change your life and inspire you forever. He had, although he was a very smart child and a very smart man, he also had to deal with difficulty and people against them, mainly because being gay. Sometimes because envy, because he was smart and he shined, and people resented that. However, he never became a selfish man. He was always kind. He was not soft. He was strong. So when he had a purpose, he went for it. He had an amazing sense of humor. He had an amazing laugh, and he gave amazing hugs. So if anything, if you had met him, you would get the feeling that, yes, you can be a spiritual leader, but you know what? You're still a human being, and you can still be kind and loving and helpful and supportive to others. So he was quite an amazing combination of a person, because he had different facets to his personality that could affect you depending on how you met him and what you learned from him. So I don't know what to tell you about not having met him. Listen to the podcast. If you have any videos, watch videos. I think I have a couple of videos from when he taught at Lucky Mojo on the festival. And you can see the type of personality. You can see how fun he was. He was a lot of fun. He wasn't, you know, an uppity kind of teacher. But he was a heck of a teacher. That was his thing. He was an amazing teacher. And he would still teach, and I think he still teaches. If you guys go on your circles, on your spiritual circles, mm-hmm. I'm sure that he will come through and channel information, because I hear him all the time. We have, you know, our connection is a mother-child connection, and he still talks to me, and he even cracks jokes, so which is kind of funny. So it's, I mean, I don't even know what to tell you. If you haven't met him, I'm sorry that you hadn't met him, but he was a human being. He was a spiritual, gifted, and blessed human being with a great sense of humor and a good cook, too. I mean, anything he wanted to do, he could do it. So, but never give up, guys. Never give up and keep on trying and stick to the teachings and the messages that were given to him, because I remember when he started the Unnamed Path and he was telling me about, I'm getting all these messages. And I go, well, what are they? And he says, I'm not sure yet. And then one day I said, well, what is it called? He says, I don't know. I keep asking and they're not giving me a name. And then he said, it's going to be the Unnamed Path. Because I'm not getting a name. It's the Unnamed Path. I go, okay, well, let it be the Unnamed Path. And it was interesting. It was amazing to see him go through the steps and to see him get the messages and be in awe of what he was hearing. I'm very lucky that I was there. I'm very, very lucky. I was there when he started his podcast on my birthday. The first podcast on 2007 was on February the 4th, and that was my birthday, and he did the first podcast. And I remember sitting there and listening to him do podcasts, and he would tell me, you can sit there, but you can't speak. Okay, I'm quiet. and he would sit there, and he was, you know how he was. He was a Capricorn. He was very organized, and he would just sit there. He had it all lined up, and I was always in awe of my own child, always. Always amazed by the things, you know, by the things he could do. So that's why I say I was a very lucky woman to have been able to have a child like him and to be able to, you know, indirectly help all of you guys. And he helped me too. So he came here to help a lot of us. And
here.
Yeah, we just have to appreciate, enjoy it, and thank him and continue to tell him, because he's listening. He's listening. He's always listening. So talk to him, and he will reply, because he's there. He's very present. So,
Cliff, David, do y'all have any more questions for Mama E? Anything you'd like to say?
I'm sorry. I'm a little stuttery because I'm a little emotional. I think that what I'd like to know from Mama E is, so how can people get in touch with you if they want to take advantage of what you're doing now? And do you have a website and
yes. Yes, thank you for asking. Yes, we have the website that, of course, Hyperion created, You can look it up online at conjuredoctor.com. One word, conjuredoctor.com. And you can email us, and you can email me at mamae@conjuredoctor.com. All together, mamae. M-A-M-A, mamae, at conjuredoctor.com. We also have a Facebook page under Dr. E, and I have a Facebook page under Mama E.
Very cool.
So you can find me. You can find me there. You can find him. Yes.
What kind of services do you offer? Like what? I know that you mentioned candle lighting, candle work earlier.
Yes. Hoodoo services, a setting of lights, and then we also have Hoodoo products, essential oils. And a gigantic line of essential oils for different purposes. And we have powders that you can use for doing root work and using it on candles. We have herb baths, and then you can give yourself magic herb baths. We have a whole line. I have a whole line of spray mists that you can 9 different kinds. I mean, you have to go get on the website because we offer so many different things. We offer books. We offer, roots, different roots, different. It's all hoodoo based, which is not a religion. It's magic. It's right. All about magic. We also offer readings. Me and I have another 2 readers. Miss Madame T, and we have a Dilogon reader. So that is also on the website. And let me find the website so I can tell you, because I don't want to lie to you guys. I don't like to lie to anybody. So Miss Ochun Taide is our Dilogon reader, because Hyperion, as Dr. E, did Dilogon readings, he did Tarot readings, he did Lenormand's, he did everything because, you know, he could read anything. He could read spaghetti on your bowl. I mean, he could read whatever. But
yes,
really, once you can read, you can see, like, signs everywhere. You walk around and you look at a tree and you can see things. So, so we offer 3 types of reading at this time, and, just go in there and take a look at the website. It's a lot of fun. There's also a blog that Hyperion wrote at the bottom of the main page, and it's the Conjure Doctor blog, and he wrote it, and there are a lot of spells that are free, and pages and pages and pages. Now, we hope to start increasing the blog. I'm sure that you guys know Kai Armand. He's one of your brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Kai is down here now in L.A., and he is going to be working with me. And
yay!
He will be, yes, sir. And he's actually staying with us at the Dr. E house. So, I'm planning to work with him, and I'm planning to learn from him because he's an amazing shaman. And I'm really happy and excited to have him with us because we need someone with his talent and his level of spirituality to move towards a more spiritual path, which is what Hyperion wanted. So, things are happening, things are moving, and this is my retirement. not so much, but anyway, so that's what I'm doing. Okay?
Awesome.
One last question.
I just shared. What was that, David?
I would just say one last question,
yes,
if I could. Because you're in the thick of magic work and there's been a lot of for lack of a better term, shifting that's been happening lately in terms of energy and you know, we've had eclipses and we've had solar flares and we've had, you know, a spiritual alignments and things like that. What have you been getting or what have you been telling folks on how to kind of work through this time? What's kind of the main messages that are coming through for you?
What I am feeling is that this is a time of cleansing. And a lot of the things that are of no use to us are being dropped. Some of them drop by themselves. And some of them you have to drop. So this is a shift, but it's a shift for the better. So what I recommend is to do road opening work and try to review your life. Sometimes we have people in our lives that we feel that we should keep them because we feel a certain obligation to have them around. But in reality, when you analyze they have on your life in general, it's not a positive effect. It's more like a detrimental effect. So you can let someone down very kind and very firm way. So more than that, what is around you.
I think she's cutting out.
And clean the stuff that you don't need. Just like these hurricanes are coming and washing things off, this is the way that we have to do with our life. Wash the things that we don't need and start fresh.
Mm.
So that's what I'm feeling right now.
Thank you.
Awesome. Did you have any last words, Cliffy?
Oh, I'm good. I got my questions answered earlier, and then she started channeling, and so I'm all tingly and happy. You, all tingly and happy.
Well, thank you so much, Mama E, for being on the show.
Yes, thank you.
I am very, very happy to have talked to all of you. Please, anytime you would like a question, contact me anytime. I'm very I just want that I'm behind you, fellows. What you're doing is awesome. I'm all for maintaining the brotherhood strong. Everyone to work issues out as brothers.
Hear, hear.
I do have to continue to babysit my grandson, who, by the way, is not babysitting. It's a baby. So, my grandson, and wish you all the best, and congratulations on the year, and maybe next year we can talk again, or before.
Totally. You know, we'd be happy to have you on again at some point in the future.
Thank you.
Love you. You're
love
welcome.
You, Mama.
Love you all. Bless you all.
Yeah. Oh, she was so much fun to have on. Going to go ahead and do a little musical break. Going to go ahead and do a little musical break, and we'll come back and get into a few topics because, you know, I don't know how long Cliffy and David have to hang out. So do music, and then we'll come right back.
I am the Firebird. I am his daughter. I am the Firebird child.
I am the Firebird child.
I am the Firebird. I am his daughter. And like the flame, I am wild, 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 wild. I am the Firebird. I am his daughter. I am the Firebird child.
I am the
never heard. Join in the dance and make it wild, wild, wild. Join in the dance and make it wild. To see a maiden dance around the fire is not so strange, but fire dances around the limbs of this uncommon maid. Be brave enough to burn and you'll be brave enough to fly. Join your sister Solace as she lights the morning sky. I am a firebird, I am his daughter, I am the firebird's child. I am the firebird, the boldest song you've ever heard. Join in the dance and make it wild, 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 wild. I am the firebird, I am his daughter, I am the firebird's child. I am the firebird, I am his daughter, and like the flame I am wild, 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 wild. Wonders of the water, air, and earth are all the same. You'll never know wonder like the wonders of the flame. Freely fly as what you are and never walk in shame. You must not be a blister if you live a life in flame. I am girl and firebird, and Solace is my name. I am the firebird, I am his daughter, I am the firebird's child. I am the firebird, the boldest song you've ever heard.
That again was S.J. Tucker, Firebird's Child. And you are listening again to Walking the Unnamed Path. We've just finished having a amazing little conversation with Mama E, Hyperion Eddie's mother. And oh my gosh, that was so much fun. It was such a joy to have her on. And now we're going to actually jump into some questions that we've been getting, on our various posts on the Walking the Unnamed Path podcast page. And, I was hoping Matthew would have, jotted down his thoughts on some of the things, but I unfortunately got the notes together too late for him to do that, and you know, he is, you know,
he's
trying to take it easy with the storm
he's
right
a hurricane.
Now. Yeah. Yeah, you know, there's that too.
He's getting good at
the
hurricanes right now. He's currently,
so,
you know, just saying.
Yeah. So the first question that we're going to jump into is something that I get asked a lot by anyone I talk to who has heard of the Endling Path or just, you know, talking to them first time about it. And I don't know if y'all have gotten, you know, people asking this either. And Mama E actually touched on it a little bit. We have people who ask us, you know, why name something the unnamed? You know, a lot of people tell us that it just kind of makes their brain go poof. You know, I don't know if that's a certain type of person, that's a certain type of, what's the word I'm looking for? Personality that they just, you know, naming something unnamed, you know, just
yeah.
makes the wires short on them.
Well,
you know,
it's interesting, David, interesting that, because, you know, I think as your mama, you talked about that, we've all tried to maybe figure out, okay, so what's the name of this path? And it's, for me, and I think it definitely came through for Eddie, very clear that the focus is the work. Sometimes you get so focused in on the name and wanting to describe something that you end up describing it, but you kind of make it a shell. And so by calling it the unnamed path, you kind of get past that and go into, okay, so what is the work that we do and how do we do it and why do we do it? And we also, because we transcend culture and nation and we are global because of our connection, it is something that when you assign a name, the name comes out of, you know, words that maybe have a particular meaning or a particular intonation. And so by having the unnamed path, it takes away from that and it connects with that global nature of what it is and what we do. At least that's my opinion.
Okay, we have someone who just dialed in.
This is Matthew. I'm sorry, guys, that I'm late. We put up the last of the shutters today, and I'm actually, my roommates are sleeping, so I'm sitting on the porch watching the wind kick up. And so it's funny with the unnamed path, because a lot of people have that reaction. Why is it called the unnamed path? Why can't you guys decide on a name? And I think David hit the nail on the head. I do have a little bit of a marketing background. And from a marketing standpoint, oh, boy, that's just a terrible marketing. How are you going to market something called unnamed path? Like, you people have no imagination. You know, you need a consultant. You need a PR team. But that's not what it's about. This is a spirit-driven tradition. And one of the things that makes us unique is, as men who love men, our heritage is global. And in our spiritual court, among our ancestors, are workers from all times in history, from all cultures all over the world, who are united in their unique capacity to love as men who love men. And is the unnamed path the name that I would have picked? Honestly, no. But I think the way David framed it, it makes sense.
And spiritually speaking, it's powerful in itself as well, because by not naming something, you leave it indescribable. You leave it possibilities. You leave it forever floating there in the ether, growing and expanding, because it doesn't have a specific name. I think it's part of it as well, because as each of us connect to each other, as we grow through our connections and through our brotherhood, it's meant to get more and more connected and in depth with each other. So I always felt like the name just gave me more freedom as
right.
as a spiritual worker.
Yeah.
And if we want to be look at the irony of it is that, you know, we call it the unnamed path, but it does have a name, the unnamed path. So there's also that that
yeah.
you know, we talk about being workers between the worlds and you know, resolving paradoxes. And so the paradox work that we do is it starts with the name. It's a path that's called the unnamed path, yet it has a name of the unnamed path.
yeah,
so there
it's,
you are.
It's almost like a Zen koan.
Right. Right.
I'm very much, you know, I agree with everything all of y'all just said. You know, whenever I think about, you know, the name of our path, name of our tradition, you know, it, to me, it just leaves it open for interpretation. You know, we all see it differently. We all interact with it differently. We have, you know, kind of the same guidelines, but the way we see it, the way we process it, the way we interpret it is all individual. You know, even with our interactions with our deities, we all don't see them the same. We see kind of similar traits, but, you know, each brother has their own interpretation of how they look.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when we learn the tech, because that's what Hyperion would say. He was teaching us the tech so that we could do the work that we needed to do.
Yeah.
So what was the next question? Yeah. We got another good one that we can get into?
So another question that we got was, you know, we've had several of the brothers on the show, you know, throughout the year, and you know, some of them have said, you know, when they have, you know, when they came into the initiative process, you know, they thought they were going to be patronized by one deity, only to find out that they were chosen by another. Could it be that the deities know that one has more to offer to teach than one of the other three? And, you know, will the deities pass, you know, will the deities pass their patronage around over time?
You know, as a teacher, one of the things that I always tell my students is, because, you know, when we go to the process of identifying, okay, so who is your patron or your matron deity? I always say, so what caught your attention? Who caught your attention and kind of pulled you into the work that, and because really, you know, as a patron or matron, it's kind of the, for me, as I view it, it's the deity that I turn to when kind of I want the raw truth. I mean, all of our patron and matron deities will give that to us, but kind of there's one that you turn to and they're like, boom, here you go. And so I think that as I have worked through the past almost 9 years, I found that the work that I do really involves all of them in every way, shape, and form. Just the way that I'm able to connect with the work that I'm doing is best identified by the descriptions of the particular deities. So, can you start with one and end up with others? I think that you always will start with one and you will always have others involved. But how you come to the work and how you approach the work may be defined by that one deity that speaks to you in the beginning and says, come walk with me. Come check me out. Let's go through this path and see what we can learn together.
Matthew, Cliffy?
Yeah, I think that people that haven't really been through the apprenticeship sometimes may get the understanding that when you go through, you just have a relationship with that one patron or matron deity. And in my experience, it's not at all what it looks like. I view all four deities as my parents. I have relationships with all four of them. I have a special relationship with my matron deity, and my observation, both in my experience and looking at the other brothers, is that your primary patron matron, it's not that that's the one that's your parent, it's that that's the parent that you tend to take after. So, you know, children of light goddess tend to have a certain qualities, certain way of looking at things that partake of the light goddess's personality. Children of the dark god certainly have DNA, if you will, from all four, and certainly have a relationship with all four, but they tend to take after the dark god more than they do the other three parents. And for me, just kind of like a unilateral approach wouldn't even make sense, because to me, these four beings complement each other and they're all part of a complete picture. And I have a close relationship with all four of them. And I think anyone who's going through it, through the apprenticeship, they realize that, because that is emphasized. You build a relationship with all of them. But I can understand how someone who hasn't gone through the classes might put a lot of emphasis on the fact that there's a patron matron deity and make that more, put more weight on it than it really, really has in real life.
This is David. I have to drop off the call because my lunch period is over. I was doing this on my lunch period. And so I just want to say thank you to Matthew and to Michael for the incredible work that you guys have done and continue to do to make this show a reality. You are a tribute to the best that our path has to offer. And I know that I can say without a doubt that Hyperion is smiling on you all greatly. Matthew, I love you. Keep your head down. Don't go outside. I want to bundle you up in a bunch of padding.
I promise I'll be safe.
And, you know, take this opportunity as a time to connect with the spirits of the hurricane and the spirits of Florida. But be safe. And may all those who are in the path of this hurricane be protected and in love and be blessed. And I'm going to log off and thank you, and I'll talk to you all soon.
All right.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David. We love you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Cliffy, did you have any thoughts on the question?
I'm one of those weird anomalies when it came to the way this worked for me, because I was very dark goddess when I walked into the path, and it never veered. Now, I didn't realize it until I started getting all the symbols thrown in my face, but, you know, it was pretty much destiny for me, I guess. I'm not sure.
Mm.
So, for me, it really, I mean, I was on her path from the very beginning, and that just is, I guess, just the way I am. You know, that's the way I walk my path.
Mm-hmm.
For others, they ended up being in different places they weren't prepared for. And then, like, you know, my partner, Billy, I mean, all of us knew from the very beginning where he was headed, even if he didn't. It was just, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it's like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's the way it was for us. Like I said, it's not the way everybody goes through it, but that, you know.
Yeah. I would have to say, it was kind of like that for me too. I knew it was when I got to that point in my apprenticeship that it was going to be one of the gods, and I was leaning very much toward, you know, the dark god. But I know I was thrown off a little bit because I was also doing a lot of, not a lot of the shamanic stuff or, you know, other things that are associated with the dark god. But I was doing a lot, I was getting a lot more out of, you know, doing readings, like practicing my readings and whatnot, or even doing a spirit contact work. I was like, okay, I'm getting a lot out of this, and these seem like they're going in one of the other directions, but I just knew I was headed for the dark god. He kind of made that known to me fairly quickly. He was like, mine over here. But, you know, I think the an interesting thing to think about with this question is when you become a teacher or go through the process to become a teacher in the unnamed path, you end up with a second parent deity. If your primary is one of the gods, your second parent is one of the goddesses, and vice versa. So I think that's an interesting thing to think about in association with this question.
Yeah, that,
I can't think where else I was going to go with that. Yeah.
That is an interesting dynamic, and as someone who's still going through the student teacher training, I'm in the middle of that process, so I don't have an understanding of how it all fits together. I do have a sense of who my secondary patron deity is, and I definitely see how that ties into my spiritual path. I feel that in my apprenticeship and my primary deity was very much in alignment in who I am and what I have to offer, and that now discovering my secondary, my patron, is about how I need to evolve and is helping to push me to where I need to be and to move forward in my journey. And I don't know if that makes any sense.
All right. I get that, yeah.
You speak the magical words of the shaman.
Yes.
Well, and, you know, that it kind of ties into the second part, another part of that question where the person was asking, you know, is finding balance between the deities important? You know, can a person become unbalanced if there's too much of one force or direction and not enough of another? And I think the fact that we have, you know, when you become a teacher, you find balance between the masculine and the feminine parts in our tradition. You know, I think that ties into a big thing of, you know, being balanced.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, and I kind of look at it two ways. And on one hand, everybody's different, and we need that diversity. For example, some of our internal lingo will refer to someone as double dark. If they're, let's say their primary is the dark goddess, their secondary is the dark god. And so does that suggest that someone who's double dark is unbalanced or doesn't have enough light? I don't look at it that way. I think we're all unique, and we each come to the table with a different and equally important piece of the puzzle. So we need our folks who are double dark, we need our folks who are double light, and we need the people who are a mixture of both. We need all these people in the circle. And as far as balance goes, of course we do all need balance. And in my work and the way I work, I definitely try to honor the energies of all four deities and the perspectives of all four deities. And I might have a moment where after a few months go by and I think, well, gee whiz, maybe I should do a devotional to the light god because I really feel like I've been neglecting him, for instance. But I think that that's something that's very personal, and everyone has to really judge for themselves what they need, what they lack, what balance is going to look like for them. And I don't think we should get hung up on the titles of the deities or use the deities as the litmus test as to whether or not we are in balance.
Do you have any thoughts, Cliffy? Is Cliffy there?
Cliffy, are you there? Did we lose you? Maybe we lost him.
Maybe.
You
want
to go to the
Cliffy
next
drop.
Question?
Yes. We'll go ahead and go to the next question, and if he pops back on, we'll ask
okay.
him. So the next question is, you know, people were curious, you know, how much of the unnamed path is now off, I don't know that word, ossified into theology, and what are some ways in which there may yet be growth or movement? You know, for example, are there yet symbols which the ancestors have yet to convey? And I know for myself, you know, whenever I talk to someone new about the unnamed path, I will say we are an emerging shamanic tradition, meaning
yeah.
we are still finding stuff out. You know, we have our core system, core, you know, beliefs, but you know, we're always trying to find more information. Have we gotten any more information yet? I think we need to definitely, as brothers, talk more about anything that we are getting. Oh, let me see. I think that's Cliffy.
Yeah, I think Cliffy's back on. And
yay!
Is that you, Cliff?
Hey, Cliff, glad you're back. If I remember correctly, I think Hyperion talked about this in one of his episodes. Maybe I was just dreaming. But if I remember correctly, he does say in one of the episodes that what he's receiving, what he's putting together is just a start, and that other brothers are also going to be bringing forward additional material. So my understanding of the answer to that question is absolutely this is an emerging tradition. What we have is the foundation, and we are continuing to build on that. Because we're geographically scattered, we don't function like a coven. Everyone is his own priest, and so a lot of us do very personal work, but a lot of the brothers are receiving their own information, receiving their own wisdom and their additional teachings. And my hope and one of our goals is to figure out how we're going to bring those puzzle pieces together. And how is that supposed to look like? Are we going to bring these puzzle pieces together and create additional course material? Is that what it's going to look like? I don't know. Or is it going to be more circular where we just come to the table and swap information amongst ourselves and share it with each other and cross-pollinate that way? I don't know. But I do know that a lot of the brothers have been very hard at work and working very closely with the ancestors and the gods.
Mm-hmm. Cliffy.
Yeah.
We'll back up for a second. Did you have a response for the previous question or thoughts on the previous comments on, you know, can a person become unbalanced if there's too much of one force or direction and not enough of another? You know, is balance between the deities important?
Again, that's I like what you guys said about perspective, because it is all about perspective. And for me, that's not how it works. I am not trying to put myself into balance as much as I am trying to walk the imbalance around me, if that makes sense. Our entire world is completely chaotic. There's nothing that's ever held in place. So I don't know if it's about balancing it, because, you know, Hyperion taught us that life is like a blade, you know, and you're trying to walk in the middle of it. And I don't feel like I'm straining or putting a lot of effort into trying to walk that line. I feel like it's more along that I'm taking calm steps, and I'm taking sure steps, and I'm paying attention to my footing and my surroundings, and I'm using my environment to help me walk a straighter, more careful path in the direction I'm trying to go. So again, that breaks down to philosophy and how the individual brother sees it and how he reacts to that particular idea. I know that I am in balance because the core of me is dark goddess, but my aura is light god. So I don't know how to say where one ends and the other begins for me to describe balance. I kind of see myself in this stage, the way I'm working with the two of them, as my father and my mother. You know that point in the crossroads where your energy mingles and merges and it becomes that bright light? I'm kind of focusing on that right now. That's where my head is. So
yeah, that makes sense.
But that's what I had to say on that part of the question. I didn't get to hear the next question you guys moved on to.
Okay, so the next question. Oh, go ahead, Matthew.
I was just gonna ask you to repeat that question.
Okay. Okay. So another thing that we asked that we've been asked is how much of the unnamed path is now ossified into theology. Is there still some ways in which there may yet be growth or movement forward? You know, for example, you know, are there symbols or techniques that have yet to be conveyed by the ancestors?
Well, yeah, of course. It's going to take us working together and figuring that stuff out together. Some of us are walking, you know, on their own, and they're not as connected as others. Some are very connected and trying hard to do their work. Some are teaching, some are learning, we're all in different stages. The fact that we're sharing is the important part. And I mean, form is the fact that we have our Facebook group and we're able to talk to each other privately, you know, not between everybody else. This is between us. And that's a great way for us to share and expand. And we've gotten stories from there, from brothers that are currently doing their work and other brothers who aren't even here anymore, because their works are there for us to see and to be connected to.
Yeah.
So I don't look at the negative. We're not doing as much, but whatever. We're going to get there, and we're all slowly, surely going to do it together.
I think there's a lot going on. It's just not necessarily public.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and, you know, that's kind of
answer that question. Yeah, we're totally getting more stuff, and we're getting it. Every brother who initiates into the path brings a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Definitely agreed. Oh. So, let me see. I think we answered all the. We answered all the questions. Hoping, you know, to have, you know, David for those last two, because would have loved to hear his thoughts on those. But, oh my gosh, I would say this has been a great episode. I've thoroughly enjoyed myself, and I'm so glad that you were able to dial in, Matthew, even, if, you know, for the last bit.
Yeah. I was able to hear part of the chat with Vicky, and that, I'm excited to go back and listen to the archive so I can catch the whole thing, but it was wonderful to hear her voice and to hear some of her perspectives. And, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, as they say. You know, I only know Eddie from his podcast, but I definitely hear a lot of him in her. So that was really cool. And it was a little emotional. So I understood, like, when David said he was getting a little choked up, I was right there with him.
I definitely look forward to hearing what the next year will bring you guys. I look forward to, I bet there's going to be some really good discussions on new techniques that we're working on and different rituals that have been done and things like that. I'd love to hear about them all. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
And of course, I'll be here when you need me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's definitely one ritual I'd love to hear about. I've yet to actually got a chance to read it. It was a certain wedding ritual that someone did.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
You know,
I need to.
They said they were going
to
share that.
Yeah, I need to put that where you can read it with words and, you know, sentences with that in period. Maybe a quotation mark.
Oh, I love you, Cliffy. And I'm so excited I'm going to get a chance to, you know, get to interact with you again soon, you know, once I move back to Texas.
I'm really excited about that, too. I'm currently going to be busting hump for CMA's Samhain here in Texas that we're doing, because I'm now on the board. I'm the Director of Member Services for CMA. So,
cool.
Kind of filling in the position until they actually vote me in.
All right. Yeah.
And for those who don't know, he's not talking about the Country Music Awards. It's
no,
the Council of Magical
Art. Magical
Art.
Council
in
pagan.
Texas.
Get your naked pagan butt over to a festival. That's what we do.
Do you also are getting ready for you work at the Texas Renaissance Festival around this time of year, don't you also?
Yeah, actually, this is my work day where I had a bunch of my guys showed up, and I knew that we needed to do this because this is important, so I set aside time for me to be able to be on the phone with you guys. But yeah, we're working on getting the, every year I put a little more work into my booth so that it stays looking good, and I never rock the boat when it comes to how good my stuff looks, you know? So we're getting ready right now, painting and staining and putting up new walls and making things look pretty.
And what is your booth called?
It's All About Tales. We do custom fur and costuming, unique leathers and unusual stuff, you know?
Oh, wow.
Really, really crazy stuff. I have a line that we call the Glambarian line, so it's glamorous barbarian. Yeah, put that together in your head and think about it, yeah. And when you get a big, beefy guy walking around in deer skin and a little bit of fur every moment.
Woof.
Just saying.
I got to check out some of your merch.
It's all on my page. All About Tales Facebook group. I'm just saying. I got my pictures there. He was a very, right. very nice guy.
Here,
I actually have
money.
A tale from Cliffy. I love it. But do you have anything coming up, Matthew?
Oh boy, what do I have coming up? I don't even know. I've been so all week
surviving
just
this hurricane.
You have a hurricane coming up. That's where you're at. Right now, it's in your to do list for the next 10 hours. Why don't you just focus on that?
Well, all the preparation's done. My to-do list now is to just wait and wait and wait for this thing to come. It's a blessing and a curse because you have all this time to prepare. You have plenty of warning.
Yeah.
But then you got to wait, and you never know exactly where it's going to hit or how it's going to hit or how long it's going to take. And so it can get really stressful.
I know that, magically speaking, people will say to put up bubbles. I personally say ride the wave, because as the energy comes to you, you want it to naturally split around your ship, your home. So,
well, you know, a good friend of mine called me yesterday. She said, "Hey, are you ready? Bring your broomstick. We're gonna go flying around in this thing tomorrow."
Oh, goodness.
That would be a sight.
So,
I really want to see that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, on that note, the wind is kicking up, and I better get back indoors. I love you guys, and I love all of our listeners. I'm so excited that we've had 1 year of amazing material, and I'm excited for next year. And this is amazing. We're doing what we came here to do. I love it.
I love you guys, too, and we'll talk to you soon. And
okay.
Good luck for next year. Here we go.
All right.
Yes.
Love you guys.
Stay safe, Matthew, and talk to you
Thank
soon,
you.
Cliffy.
Bye.
Bye. All right, and before, you know, I'm going to play us out with a song, but before I play us out, you know, I'm going to go ahead and plug David, since, you know, he had to vamoose for work. You know, he mentioned it when we were talking to Mama E, but David is going to be I believe this is his next big thing. It's definitely a big thing in my book. He's going to be traveling to Australia at the beginning of next year for Roots and Bones, which we had Buck on to talk about Roots and Bones a few episodes back. David is going to be one of the featured presenters, and he's actually going to be doing a workshop on the Unnamed Path. So that's going to be coming up January 13th, 2018. Oh my gosh, 2018. That's coming up so fast. And if you want more information on Roots and Bones, I'll go ahead and link the event page on the Facebook group again. And I'll also link Cliffy's group for All About Tales, and even the CMA. I believe there's a CMA page. I posted a link to conjuredoctor.com earlier to our Facebook page, and I'll see about getting some of these links also posted, you know, other places, Twitter and whatnot. But all those, I'm just going to be firing them off on the Facebook page. I am going to play us out with a song, and I'll come back with some closing thoughts. Let's see. I had a song already picked out. What was it? Dude, this is going to be a short one. This is, again, another song from S.J. Tucker. This is September's Rhyme.
Green and black, yellow, red, rub your belly, bat your head, corners, edges, middle part, close one eye before you start, nine times backwards, sideways, round, open doors you've never found, key flies in without a sound, key flies in without a sound, leopard whiskers, collared coat, let the lie escape your throat, circus dances, open rows, seal the spell, there must be blood, fly through kisses, don't be rude, to latitude or longitude, solve the puzzle, turn the key, bleed a bit and then fly free. Hold your courage, pumpkin dear, one shoe off, the way is clear.
Again, that was S.J. Tucker, September's Rhyme. And you have been listening to Walking the Unnamed Path. You know, we're so glad that you've been with us for, oh my gosh, a year. We're technically tomorrow. Tomorrow is technically the 1 year anniversary, but, you know, we post on Saturdays. So we're celebrating today. But again, thank you all for joining us. It's been a great year, and we hope for another year and many more after that. If you have any comments, questions that you'd like us to cover, you know, you can email us at walkingtheunnamedpath@gmail.com. You know, send us a tweet at walking_theup. Or you can follow us on Facebook It's usually the best way to get in touch with us at facebook.com/walking.namepath. I'm Michael Graywolf. I'm signing out because I am going to be heading to Between the Worlds in just a little bit. And I hope you all have a blessed day, wonderful weekend. Hope everyone stays safe over on the coast. You know, hope everyone who was in path of Hurricane Harvey, hope you all have everything getting on the way to getting back together. You know, just so much going on. But, you know, y'all have a great day, and Matthew, and everyone else, we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.